The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guest do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome to another Monday night here on the Shadows Radio. I am Rebecca.
And I'm Bill.
Hold on, radio voices. Flex. One, two, go.
And I'm Bill.
Wait, well, I'm happy not a Monday. Duck. What did you? Yeah. You think I laugh like a duck?
Yeah, no.
Oh, look, sorry. Suddenly we lost Bill, and the applications for new hosts will be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. No, I can't fire you. It's too much work to replace you. I'm still finding places to replace other people that have been gone for a long time.
You're irate. Wow.
I told you, man. I'm in a mood.
Yeah, you are in a mood.
I'm burnt out. I'm tired. I'm done. I hate people. I hate process. If I see paperwork again, I'm going to scream.
Yes, paperwork is bad. Beer is good.
I'll drink.
You should.
I should, but I kind of...
That's the problem in your life.
I gave up drinking?
Wow.
Let me rephrase it. I didn't give up drinking.
That's not good.
I didn't give up drinking, per se. I cut back on drinking significantly.
Mm. 1 to 2 cases a week.
Exactly.
Anyway.
And my 6 packs a day. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. So what's our days of the day of the day?
The days of the days of the day. You make it sound so interesting.
I'm sorry.
What's our days of the days of the day? Anyway, what is today's day?
Today is the 22nd of March, 2021.
I just got to say this week sucks. We start off with National Bavarian Pretzel Day.
I like pretzels.
Sorry. I got that wrong.
Oh.
Bavarian Crepes Day. Don't ask me.
I am less excited about crepes than I am about pretzels.
Right. It's National Goof-Off Day.
Oh, that's us. We're in.
That's all right.
Sweet.
To our friends in West Virginia.
No.
Yep. It's our day. Your day.
Do you claim West Virginia?
Well, sure. Why not? I went there once, twice, three times.
I've been there a lot.
I feel, you know... Tomorrow is National Melba Toast Day, so it should be exciting, though. Yeah, if you
Melba
like Melba
Toast Day, like...
Melba Toast.
I know what it is.
National Chips and Dip Day.
Oh, I like dip.
Well, here's an important one. Out of all the crap that's on these days...
It's a lot of food.
They're getting kind of lame.
Getting hungry.
March 23rd to 24th is American Diabetes Association Alert Day.
That's because we just ate chips and dip, Bavarian cream, crepes.
Melba Toast.
Well, Melba Toast isn't going to give you diabetes, but...
Well, it sounds like it would.
But, Melba Toast is just boring old crackers.
Yeah.
So I put honey on them, and then I put cheese, and then I eat it.
On Melba Toast?
Yeah, you get the garlic Melba Toast.
I never had Melba Toast.
You're not missing anything, but it's a really good vehicle for cheese because it doesn't taste like anything. So you don't know that you're not eating something, but it still has enough structure to hold the cheese.
Okay.
As a cheese connoisseur, I'm telling you, this is a thing.
I like cheese.
I love cheese. With lavender honey or truffle honey on top. I got truffle cheese the other day. I put lavender honey on it. I was like, whew.
Don't like Fondue cheese, but yeah.
Why you had to go there and ruin the cheese? All right, it's more on Cheese Hour.
So what we got going on?
Nothing.
Nothing. We're just going to ramble on tonight?
We can't do that already? I feel like we do that every week.
Well, Rain wants... He wants an... she, yeah. needs a National Dark Chocolate and Coffee Cake Day. So I now dub the today National Dark Chocolate and Coffee Cake Day.
But wait, I have a clarification. Is it dark chocolate and coffee cake, or is it dark chocolate and coffee cake?
Dark chocolate and coffee cake.
Yes, but is it two things? Like, is he asking for dark chocolate day and coffee cake day, or is he asking for dark chocolate and coffee in the same cake day?
I will answer it as yes.
That was not an answer. There was an or in there. If someone ors, you cannot say yes.
Oh. Well.
And yes, Rian, there is a National Oreo Day. The marketing team at the Oreo company has made sure of that.
Is Kara moving?
I don't know.
It's also moving coma day.
No, I think this is comma.
Oh, comma day. Sorry. Told you my eyes were getting bad. Anyway.
It's moving comma day, as in, is it dark chocolate comma and coffee cake, or dark chocolate and coffee cake, as in, put in a comma in there, makes it ding, move around. Yeah. Anyway, Kara and I met in English, if you were not familiar. We met in college as English majors.
Oh, well, that's good. I didn't.
Yeah. So, all right. We are learning things. We are doing things. No?
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you want to know what we're talking about,
I should probably tell you.
Onto the Para-X Radio Network, you can go into the chat room and just hit chat now.
Oh.
And all these little things are coming up, popping up, and people talk about things we're usually not even talking about. So you can get in there and talk about, you know, dark chocolate and coffee cake day and stuff like that, or moving commas day.
Look, Bill's in a coma over a comma.
That's right. So, dark chocolate. So
there are things.
Anyway, we already wasted 11 minutes of the show. What else we got?
Nope. So we are going to talk about some old-fashioned fortune-telling traditions and tricks.
And I'm out of rum. Jeez.
Already? Dude, we're only 11 minutes into the show.
I know. It's going to be one of them nights.
Oh, boy. We are off to a rocking start.
Damien's correct. I'm huffing paint too much, yes.
Well, you're supposed to wear one of them respirator doohippies when you're painting in the shop.
Oh.
So, just to set the stage for this, this is not divination. This is not any kind of religious fortune telling. This is not anything of that nature. These are literally the things that kids would do in the Middle Ages in Ireland, Scotland, and Wales that would, quote, tell your fortune. Just like kids nowadays do, like, Bloody Mary in the mirror kind of thing.
No. Yeah, no.
You don't know what Bloody Mary is?
No. It's not like putting a buttercup under your chin?
Well, sort of. But no, Bloody Mary, you said Bloody Mary three times in the mirror while spinning around in a dark bathroom, and she would show up behind you and kill you.
Oh.
Okay. No, you never did that? Okay.
No.
So anyway. So these all come out of the Encyclopedia Middle Ages, which is a weird name for a book. However, it is some of the best divination techniques from in and around the British Isles. And most of these are pretty far-fetched fortune-telling games, so you'll see these are all done as, like, parlor games.
Okay.
All right, so nobody take these seriously or come back later and go, you offended my religion by saying that this is a fortune-telling thing. It's not a fortune-telling thing. It's a fortune-telling game. Okay. Got it? All right. I just want to make that clear because, you know.
Yeah, I know. There's all kinds.
There's Kara in our chat room.
Gummy.
All right. I'm falling off my chair. Okay, so the first one requires you to have a newborn baby on hand.
Okay.
So, acquire a newborn baby. Encourage it to sip from a bowl. Afterwards, return the baby. This is an important step. Retain the bowl and fill it with water, then cut all 26 letters of the alphabet from a newspaper or magazine, or write the letters on a piece of paper if you don't have a magazine nearby. Place the papers into the bowl. Leave it to sit overnight. The next morning, blindfold yourself, dip your hand into the bowl, and pull out the same number of slips as letters are in your name. Using those slips, you should be able to spell out the name of your future spouse.
Huh.
Now, it does not specify how newborn the baby has to be. However, getting a baby to drink water is kind of hard as it is.
Borrow the baby or, like, steal it? Or, like, hey, can I borrow your kid? I'll be right back.
Well, it does say return the baby. That's part of the step. So you borrow the baby. It takes a drink out of the bowl. Then you return the baby.
Okay.
But it says keep the bowl and fill it with water. But it doesn't say what the baby's supposed to. It doesn't say what the baby's supposed to drink out of the bowl. It doesn't say drink water. It just says take a sip from a bowl. But theoretically, in this place, your spouse cannot be named Bill. Your spouse cannot be named Matt. Your spouse cannot
it's
be named
stuck with the letters of your name. So you're Rebecca. So it's kind of like Alfredo or something.
Well, no, you don't pick out your own letters. You pick out as many slips of paper. So Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A. Right. So you pick out seven letters.
So your husband's name would have seven letters in it.
Like No. You could make his name out of those seven letters. Doesn't necessarily mean you need to use all of them.
So you can make like 20 different names or...
Yeah, whatever. Or you can, you know, come up with the name like Arshnov. You're like, what the heck is that? I don't know. It's O-S-T-N-Q. Like, okay.
Okay.
So, okay. This one was actually, this one was actually also popular in Newfoundland. And you can thank them for bringing this custom, keeping this custom alive on. They do this around New Year's.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just. This is still the thing they do on New Year's. They make babies drink out of bowls and then, dip your hand into the bowl and do things. So anyway, if babies aren't your thing or you can't find somewhere to rent a baby, you can eat an entire salted herring, bones and all, in three bites. Do not drink water. Go to bed. In your dream, prophetic visions of your future spouse shall appear. Side effect, indigestion.
Great. That one's not good. I like to borrow a baby one better.
You don't want to eat a salted herring and bones and all? I mean, how big is a herring, like, legitimately?
I don't know. I mean, there's
how
pickled
ones. How big
is
a salted herring?
She's Googling.
I am Googling. They're not big. They're like I mean, I'm looking at, like, Swedish pickled herring. It looks like a herring is probably the size of, like, an average, like, little branzino or something like that. So, I mean, you're taking a big bite. Okay. But, or actually, no, they do come as small as, like, oh, what the heck is that? Like a anchovy size. Maybe a little bigger than an anchovy.
The herring is bigger than an anchovy?
Yes. According to this.
Okay. An anchovy is a fish egg.
An anchovy is not a fish egg. That would be caviar.
Oh, same thing. Yeah.
Same thing. An anchovy is a whole fish.
Oh, okay.
So that's it says adult herrings can get from 8 to 15 inches in length.
Okay. That's better. Measurements are good.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
also,
eat a herring before bed and you will have hallucinations.
In three bites, bones and all, and then do not drink any water.
Ew. Anyway, salty.
Yeah. Okay. In your dream, you will have prophetic visions, which may or may not be indigestion. Sorry.
I will just have to run to the cabinet and see if I have any herring in my cabinet.
Is that something that you often keep in the cabinet, is herring?
You never know what's in
it. Or did you buy caviar and think it was anchovies?
It could be. No wonder the pizza tasted funny.
Yeah, I say, wait a minute. If you ordered pizza with anchovies, are you expecting like little fish eggs up on there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Four is not the number of bites to take.
Okay.
Sardines do not come with sauce normally, and they are disgusting. Sorry. That sauce is called water that's slimy from them sitting in it. I ate one once. Never again.
Well, the anchovies and sardines are fairly slimmer or similar. Sorry.
No, sardines.
Yeah, so an anchovy, I think, if I remember correctly, is smaller than a sardine, but they're very similar fish. And they're actually kind of used interchangeably regularly. Like in a lot of Italian cooking, you can swap sardines and anchovies pretty consistently.
Yeah. So,
all right, we're going to ignore the red herring comment because I'm not in a punny mood. The next one's going to require you to go out in nature. Find a blackberry bush.
Okay.
Crawl underneath the branches. In the moonlight, you may find the shadow of your future beloved. If you can't find a blackberry bush, you can also replace it with a hemlock tree, apparently.
So, what they're saying, all these so far is for people who want to find their significant other.
All right, they're in categories. Just work with me here.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know this stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, so find a blackberry bush, crawl underneath, and in the moonlight you may find the shadow of your beloved. I guess if he walks by, it's pretty obvious that that's who it's supposed to be. Or she walks by, or they walk by, whatever. Yeah. Oh, let me rescue you. Woohoo!
Tie him up, drag him in the house. You are mine.
I have claimed thee.
Okay.
I don't know. This one's kind of silly. Also, one of those things that you did as a kid anyway. Like, let's hide under the bush and see if we can see anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kim says she has a hemlock out back, Bill.
Great.
You gonna go climb under the hemlock and see if you can see shadows?
Yep. Go see if you can find your beloved under that hemlock tree.
Uh-oh.
I'll be over with a camera.
What, just to watch, take a picture of a, yeah.
Yeah.
That rain has a blackberry bush in the backyard, and it's like 2.5 foot tall. Well, you're going to be slithering rather than crawling, I guess.
Well, mine would have pickers. Yeah.
You say pickers?
Yeah.
Like
I'd crawl under and I get like pickers in my butt or something. What is going
on? Okay. Through? I'm not sure what a picker is, but I'm going to let that one slide one by.
A picker bush? You never had a picker bush?
I've had a pricker bush, but not a picker bush.
No, nah, little pickers on them, not prickers.
No, we've always called them
prickers.
Yeah, we've always called them prickers.
Yeah, that's a Pittsburghian thing.
It's not. It's not at all, but.
Got pickers. Picker bush.
Yeah. You're not supposed to pick your butt, Bill.
That's right.
All right, so the next one is a little better. If you're not falling in love here, we can do this one. So this one says, procure 2 apples, preferably similar in size. Wet them. Doesn't say how, it just says wet them.
Okay.
Designate 1 apple for love interest A and 1 apple for love interest B. Mm. Press the apples against your forehead or eyelids. Wait. Mm. Are you waiting?
Yeah, how long?
Slam the apples into the ground. It doesn't say how long to wait, it just says to wait. When the apple splits open, that is the one you will marry, and the amount of seeds that fall to the ground indicate how many children you will have.
Oh, jeez. Well, so, I don't have any apples, thank God. And, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, I can see that being a cutesy, you know, tweeny, middle-aged thing.
Yeah, although I could see a few middle-aged parents, not middle-aged parents, but middle-ages parents, being a little pissed off that your kid just smashed some apples to figure out how many kids they were going to have.
That's true, yeah. Like, but I can see them going around in circles, and smashing apples on the ground. You're going to have 5 kids. You're going to have 5 kids.
Yeah.
With Louie.
With Louie? Well, wait, did they stick the hand in the paper to figure out exactly which?
Trying to think of Middle Ages type, you know, whatever.
And that's what you came up with is Louie?
Hey.
Okay.
Hey, that's it.
All right. So the next one on our list is going to require you to have a very trusting neighbor. So the steps for this one are trespass on your neighbor's garden. Do not ask permission. Just bust through the fence.
Okay.
Literally. Yeah. Strap on a blindfold and begin searching for kale. Upon finding the vegetable, attempt to pull the kale from the dirt. Please try not to get shot in the meantime.
Yeah.
However...
She's at it again!
If you happen to successfully remove kale from the dirt, the shape of the kale's root shall foretell your future.
The shape of the root.
Yes, the shape of the root. I don't know what a kale root looks like off the top of my head, so I'm just going to go with the description here. A straight stalk foretells of a tall, straight, handsome mate, and dirt clinging to the kale promises money. Yes.
Okay.
And before all of you start to laugh, there's actually a side note here that says this divination was actually a very popular matchmaking tool in Scotland. And if you're of Scottish descent, there's a chance that you owe your entire existence to the shape of the stalk of kale.
So what if it's crooked? I mean, they always said if it's a straight stalk, you're going to have a tall money person if it has dirt on its roots. But what if it's a crooked root with no dirt? Does that mean you're going to have, like, this stumpy person with, like, who's broke? I mean...
The other guy...
I need more info here.
So, just for fun, yeah, let's see. I'm looking up the other options here. Oh, what happened? Stop, go back. Sorry, I clicked on something and it took me to the wrong page.
So, if you don't like it, put the kale back in the ground.
Yeah.
And apologize.
Okay,
to
so you ready? So, it says, I'll read you the original poem that says, then first and foremost through the kale, their stalks mon ought be at ants. Their stalks are in and grape and whale. So basically pull the stalks out. If it's straight with dirt, then you'll find a rich one. If it starts to bend, you'll have a runt with a sow's tail. Meaning, yeah, you're right. Yeah. If you pull it out,
Okay.
So potential, yeah. So no. Tall and healthy, withered and old, and if you actually were supposed to eat the kale, if you actually wanted it to come true, you had to actually cook it up and eat it. So basically, you're stealing kale from your neighbor.
I used to put kale in my shakes in the morning. I gave.
Oh, you were so healthy.
I was at one time for a week. I had kale. I mean, come on.
And so before you guys are kind of picking on the kale. Let me see if this comes through. But the picture that I just put into the chat room is actually a Scottish divinator who made a living and a name for himself with the kale trick. And he would go around to villages doing the kale thing.
See that. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, not hungry anymore. I was hungry for chips and dip, not so hungry for kale. All right, so the next one's only going to require you to grab some hair out of your head. However, if you're balding, unfortunately, this one is not for you.
Okay.
Sorry, Bill.
What, does it say just hair? Oh, yeah, I got enough hair for 10 people.
Okay. All right, so step outside and pluck a hair from your head.
Okay.
At nightfall, toss your hair into the wind. The direction your hair flies indicates the direction from which your fortune will come.
Okay.
So basically this was the way to figure out, you know, if you were, if your money's coming, which way is it coming from? However, if you chuck it and it falls at your feet, I guess you're in trouble.
This is coming from yourself.
But I feel like if it just falls down, then you already have money. This is like new money.
Oh. You would think they'd say, like, stand in the middle of a crossroad or something. You know,
it just says into the wind. So, actually, English dramatist John Gay wrote a poem in 1714 that took this divination a little further. And he said, I pluck a lock of hair off my head to tell whence comes the one I shall wed. Fly, silken hair, fly all around the world until you reach the spot where my true love is found. So he I guess, believed that his fortune was a significant other.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Get a job.
So, yeah.
You know?
Well, maybe that's where you're supposed to follow the hair to find your job. That's possible, right?
Okay. The hair has to be from the head so it's still alive.
That's a good point. I mean, because coming out of your brush, it might have been there. Plus, you know.
Mm. Way to go, Damien.
Woohoo.
My brother. Yeah.
All right. So.
Okay.
The next one is going to require a very trusting or forgiving person who does your laundry. Or if you do your own laundry, then you're fine. But spread a fine layer of cornmeal on your bed. Sleep. In the morning, the name of your future spouse and or children will be scribbled in the powder.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Cornmeal.
So this particular bit of divination was fairly large in the American South in the early 1700s and 1800s.
Huh.
It did originate in Europe, but then it came over with the colonists, I guess, and then it became a thing. I'm not entirely sure how one can tell the difference between the name of the person scrawled in the cornmeal and just I rolled in it, and now it looks like my pajama pants or something.
Looks like says Dan.
My future spouse is because that's all. There's no letters in there. Although nothing would have stopped my older, if I had done this, nothing would have stopped my older brother from not coming in and writing like some like person that he knows I hated.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what my brother would have done. He would have waited until I was just about to wake up. He would have come in. He would have wrote somebody's name with like his finger.
And then you would have rolled over on it.
Probably. All right. You ready for the next one?
I was born ready.
All right. So this one comes out of merry old England and was actually brought over to good old Salem, Massachusetts. Grab an egg. And a glass of water.
Okay.
Crack the egg and carefully drip the whites into the water 3 times. The goop will contort to form the initials of your future beloved. However, you can also use this not only to find your beloved, but the name of your children, or also other divination questions.
Okay, so you put it in a bowl, a cup, or
it says a glass of water.
A glass, so it'd be a short name.
Yeah, it is, you're not marrying initials. You know, Archibald here. You're marrying, you know, Joe. Although it says initials, so it can't be. I mean, I guess it's only a couple letters,
right?
It says there are examples of a young man who was so disturbed by his eggy divination that he drank heavily and became a beggar who committed suicide by downing laudanum. So I guess he didn't get good letters. And like I said, the girls of Salem attempted to read egg whites, and, well, we all know how that happened. So, yeah.
Yeah, probably that's his sister's name or something. It is. Then they went to West Virginia. I don't know. I'm just, you know, supposing.
So I know there are actual bases for this in some religions where they believe that you can divinate through egg whites. I don't think it was meant to tell you your high school crush.
Well, I have some eggs and I got water. I could, you know, run over and try it real quick. But
all right, well, you do that.
I think I'll make a mess.
Your cat would knock it over.
Yeah.
You're not bringing no one else in here. Whack! All right.
That's what I need. That is what I need.
A cat to censor you?
No. Damien says that's like the original magic eight ball. I should get one of them for the show.
You don't have a magic eight ball laying around?
I don't. No.
I feel like that's one of those things everybody has in their house, but like nobody ever uses, but you have it.
Maybe I don't know. I've checked my son's room. I don't know. I know I got him one for Christmas 1 year. But that'd be cool. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
Karen in the chat room says, how disappointing would these be in a time where everyone's name is John or Mary? Like, it would spell out John Smith, and that's literally half your class.
True. Yeah. Yep.
That's funny.
Bill.
All right. So the next one on our list is book a ticket to the Scottish Highlands, specifically Rossshire, where this trick is supposed to have originated. Find a field in which the furrows run north to south. Wait for dark. Enter the field from the west and gently walk over 11 furrows. Stop at the 12th. Wait. Shout into the wind your name and wait again. Listen for your fortune. If you hear sobbing, you may die early. If you hear music, your future will be joyful. And if you hear a man or woman yelling at you to get off their lawn, you probably should run.
Yeah. Yeah. That was lame.
Hey, it was funny. Hey, Rhodey, shut up.
Get out of here, kid!
I'm sure people in that area are used to people, like, they no longer plant north to south just to stop the kids from rolling through there.
Yeah, right. Jeez.
So it says yell your name into the wind, right? And then stop and listen to your fortune. So if you hear sobbing, you're going to die. If you hear music, you'll be happy. There's no in-between here. There's no, like, happy, I'll be okay. There's no,
yeah.
I'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You'll live a totally tolerable life.
You're either going to be happy or you're going to die.
Oh.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
I mean, everybody's going to die eventually, right?
Mm-hmm. Not me. I'm going to live forever.
Fame! Sorry. All right. Sorry. I just scrolled. There's a... Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the next one on our list says, go to the hearth. Scoop up some ashes and scatter them across the hearth plate. If you don't have a hearth, you can use a plate of flour. Okay. Place the snail on a plate. Oh, wait. I forgot the part about you're supposed to go outside and find a snail. Sorry.
Find a snail.
Note, before going to the hearth and scooping up the ashes, go outside and find a snail.
Okay.
Place the snail on the plate and go to sleep. In the morning, check the snail's slime trail. It will have spelled out your fortune.
It says squiggle.
It's just a bunch of S's. Crap. Yeah. There's a snake coming for you.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
No? You're not on board with the snail divination?
No. Not the snail one. No.
Of all the ones we've talked about, that's the one that gotcha?
Well, so far, yeah.
Very sorry, sir, but your snail didn't make it.
No.
No, he didn't make it?
No. And my fortune is not to do the dishes.
I don't know. If my mom found me with a plate of flour and a snail walking across my kitchen table, I feel like doing the dishes would be the least of my punishments.
Yeah, right.
The first one would be, here's a bottle of Lysol. Get to scrub in the whole damn house.
Yeah. And take your damn snail outside.
Yeah, who the hell brings snail? Oh, I don't even know where you would find a snail. Like, where do snails hang out? Is there like a snail club you can just go? Or do you go to like the pet store and buy a snail?
Ocean City. They're everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a snail in the wild.
No, I'm thinking hermit crabs.
Hermit crabs are totally different animals.
Whatever, same thing. Just not as slimy, I guess. Boy, I'm all screwed up tonight.
Hermit crabs. That's totally. That's not even close.
Well, they got a shell. A snail shell or a shelly, you know, a shell kind of thing.
I mean, at least I was thinking slug. At least that's sort of similar.
Yeah, slugs are snails with no shells.
They're naked snails?
Yeah. Naked snails, yes.
Yep. Okay, so the next one is going to require a little bit of investigative research on your part.
Oh.
You need to find the nearest lime kiln.
What?
Yep.
Well, there's a road by me called Lime Kiln Road.
Yeah, so... If you don't have one of those handy, I guess, you can't do this one. I don't know.
Okay.
Do you know what a lime kiln is?
I have no clue, no.
Okay, anybody? Well, a lime kiln was used to produce quicklime, It basically burns limestone.
Oh.
So that's probably Lime Kiln Road is probably there probably was a lime kiln there.
Yeah, they probably did.
And probably when this was when this trick came about, they were probably a little more frequent than they are now. All right. So we're going to locate our local lime kiln. Then we're going to locate our nearest arts and crafts store and buy some blue yarn. It has to be blue. Doesn't say what kind of blue, but blue. Ooh. We're going to throw the ball of yarn into the kiln while grasping the opposite end. I feel like they should write that sentence the other way, because most people are going to throw it in there and be like, crap, I need to grab the end and hope for the best. yeah, so hold on to the end of the string and throw the ball into the kiln. Once it lands, reel in the yarn. When you feel a tug from the other end, ask for the name of your future beloved or other divination question. Hold on. This one's for you, Bill. A disembodied voice will belch his or her name.
Oh. Ralph.
Everyone's future beloved will be Bob.
Yeah. Ralph. Yeah. Yeah.
So just for reference, this tradition originates in Lower Scotland, where it was believed that mythical household goblins called brownies live in the kilns and everywhere else and help out. So at least there was actually a reason why they thought there was a voice that was going to shout back to them. They wouldn't just think that lime kilns talked.
Maybe they do. Have you ever tried it?
I have not. I don't think I've ever seen a lime kiln.
No.
Not
killing limes.
Not killing.
We're not killing limes. Or lions.
What the...
People in the chat room. Oh my. Put the lime in the coconut, not the kiln. And the rum.
Oh boy. Okay. So, the next one, a little easier.
Okay.
Rain says, FYI, limestone lime like that is kind of toxic. Well, I feel like once you've tugged on the rope and it's stuck in the line, you can just toss the end into the kiln. You don't have to keep it. We're not pulling it back out.
Need a sweater.
With a lime kiln?
Yep.
With limes, like, with molten hot limestone? Yeah, no. Alright, so the next one is buy a knife and find a field of leeks. It has to be a new knife. Please do not reuse a knife you already have. At night, we're going to walk backwards through the field and stab one of the leeks with the knife. Hide, then watch. According to Celtic lore, your future spouse will walk through the field, pick up the knife, and chuck it into the middle of the garden.
Okay. And then what?
That's your future spouse, I guess.
You chuck the knife?
Yes, your future spouse will walk through the garden, pick up the knife, and throw it. And possibly stab you because you're hiding. Yeah,
exactly.
I guess it was never meant to be...
Yeah. No.
Not feeling this one either?
No. Well, yeah, I mean, that'd be fun. Be like a knife fight, but yeah, I don't see how that's going to, you know, get your significant other match forever and ever. I
don't
know.
One man enters.
I'm having a hard time with that. Mm-hmm.
One couple leaves. He got the prize of his life. All over a leak.
He met his significant other, but she died from a knife injury.
Yeah, it was a very short romance.
Yes. Try it again.
Yeah. Whoops. So just to put this one in a little bit of perspective, this one it's based out of Celtic lore, and it says that the fairy folk actually guide your significant other or your future significant other to the spot. And the knife is supposed to be retrieved afterwards and used during your wedding ceremony.
I had to cut the cake.
I guess.
Or open the bottle.
Yeah. Or to shank each other. How do we meet, sweetie? Let me show you. Yeah.
So the Celtic fairies
mm-hmm.
guide the one you're supposed to stab in the field of leeks.
You're not supposed to stab anybody.
Oh, well, if you're throwing
a
knife.
Hopefully you're hiding in far away so that they're not, you know. Hmm. Yeah. Hopefully you choose a hiding spot that's not necessarily near knife,
a rock.
Like in knife throwing distance. Maybe up a tree. How's that?
Hmm. Well, I do have the luck of the Irish.
Well, that's not. Now you're just mixing, you know, things here. Now we're just mixing lore all over the place.
Well, that's what it's all about.
I guess. All right, so the next one's going to also require you to trespass and steal from a farmer.
What's going on here?
There is a lot of trespassing, a lot of stealing from poor farmers. But we're going to visit a farm and pull up a stalk of oats. If the stalk is missing the tiny seeds at the top, which is often called a pickle, then you'll lose your virginity before marriage. So that's just a way of knowing whether or not you're gonna, you know, I guess be a good Christian or not so good Christian. I'm not sure. Also, you should know that this is where the Scottish phrase alluding to woman's virginity as the tap pickle came from.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, I guess you want to find this out prior?
Well, I think if it already happened, you would know.
Yeah. Like, she's good. Put her over there. No.
Just line up all your prospective mates and say, excuse me, can you please, you know.
Yeah, check out the pickle. Yeah.
Excuse me, can you just grab some oats for me? Thanks.
Exactly.
I wonder if this is also where, like, sowing your wild oats and all that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask the same question.
So it doesn't specify, though, if this only works for women or if it's, like, a guy's, like, can everybody do this? It doesn't specify that.
I'll have to try it because, you know, I'm pure as the driven snow, so.
Mm.
As everyone knows, yes.
All right, well, you go do that and let me know how that works out for you.
Okay. Just got to find an oat field.
You know, because they're right there next to the lime kiln.
Right. It's got to be one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So the next one, attain a willow branch or wand, hold it in your left or right hand, and run around your house 3 times. Whisper, he is that to be my goodman. Come to grip the end of it. During the third lap, the fetch, that is the living spirit, will appear and grab your wand.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of wand grabbing going on.
Yep.
Yep.
So it's kind of funny. So willow, if you're not familiar, is actually a symbol of curmudgeonness, and in the Scottish Highlands. Wand.
That'd be a little curmudgeonist.
Yeah, peeling a willow wand on your door. So putting a stick of willow, like willow tree, that's been peeled on your doorway was a sign that you wish nobody would come bother you. Basically, it was a Scottish do not disturb sign. So why you're running around your house with a willow stick, I'm not entirely sure, because that feels like it's counterintuitive.
Yeah. Yeah. Go run around your house with a willow stick a few times and then hang it over your door. People think you're crazy anyway, and they're not going to come. So that makes sense.
I'm just going to tape, like, willow sticks to every door in my house and be like, no, go away.
Go away. Did you see the willow stick out by my door?
Duh.
Don't you know what that means?
It means thou shall not enter or something.
Yeah.
All right, we got 2 more, and then we're all done.
Okay.
All right, so the first one for you involves chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
It's always about nuts and willows,
right? Have you sung that song lately?
No.
Okay.
No, I have not.
All right. So we're going to put 2 nuts on the fire and think. One is going to be yes and one is going to be no. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you hate me, spit and fly. If you love me, burn away. Okay? That's what you need to say into the fire. If the nuts roll apart, then your answer is no. If they both burn, the answer is yes. You can also do this with two peas and a red hot shovel if you don't have any chestnuts laying around.
Yeah, because I got red hot shovels everywhere.
Well, you stick a shovel in a fire, it gets hot.
Fire!
It's not supposed to be permanently hot. That's silly.
Okay.
No,
so,
fine.
Wait a minute. So the question is,
are you
to ask this any kind of question? And you get a yes or no answer?
Well, as long as you ask a yes no question, I assume. I mean, if you're going to ask it like, you know, what's the square root of the capital of Georgia, it's probably not going to answer you.
It's just like the original Magic 8 Ball. Will I find my true love? And like, if the peas like roll away, then that's a no. If they burn up, then it's a yes.
Yes.
Will I find $1 million?
Fire! Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to see you set two little peas on fire.
I may just do that.
He feels like, I'm tired of waiting for them to catch fire. I just took a lighter at poosh.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, yeah, it said yes.
I got torches. Yeah, I can do it.
All right, and the last one is just for you, although it does waste brandy, so you might be kind of sad.
Mm.
Okay. So we're going to pour half a pint of high-proof brandy in a dish. Set it on fire.
Really?
Then you're going to throw in a handful of raisins, nuts, figs, or other fruit into the fire. Then you're going to gather a group of friends. Hopefully you've gathered the group of friends prior to setting things on fire. But, you know, attempt to remove as many items as possible, trying your best to toss them into your mouth without getting burned. Whoever retrieves the most fruits and nuts is destined to be the good fortune for the year.
So this whole deal starts with the phrase, hold my beer.
Yeah, hold my brandy.
And then I'm just going to go get this nuts out of the brandy that's on fire without burning my hands and toss it in my mouth.
So this game is actually still played in Britain. It's called Snapdragon. And you can actually find it referenced in Charles Dickens' The Pickwick Papers. In the United States, however, it's done around Halloween time for people that still do it.
Okay.
But yeah, it was very popular in... like the Georgian period for people to play this. But yeah, so set some brandy in a dish, set it on fire, chuck in your trail mix, and then you and your friends stick your fingers in there and try and get as many as you can and toss them into your mouth without burning yourself. And whoever has the most, they're the ones that are going to be the high fortune for the year.
Okay. And you'll have the burnt tongue, and your fingers will be singed. So
exactly.
You won't play guitar for the next couple weeks.
You're good. No one
You're
can.
Screwed.
None of you can speak because you've set your lips on fire, but you got it.
Mm. And as we're talking, I'm getting people messaging me about Magic 8 Balls on Amazon.
Alexa heard you.
That would be Damien. And look, $8.99.
Ooh.
Not bad.
That's like discount divination.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. I'm ordering me one. Thank you.
Are you supposed to be paying attention to the show? Stop answering your phone.
Well, it has to do with the
show. It is true. That is very true.
Yeah.
So those are our vintage divination styles. Most of them involve pissing off a farmer or two.
Yeah, and breaking into your neighbor's land.
Breaking into your neighbor's house, yeah. A couple, like, you know, destruction of property kind of things.
Setting things on fire, so...
I thought you'd like that one.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
So, you know, probably not the most socially conscious choices that we could make. But you can see how they were all probably fun little parlor games for teenagers to do and holidays and stuff.
So imagine how far we've come.
We haven't come that far because I'm trying to think of things that we've done as teenagers, at least I did as teenagers, that are very, very similar to this. A little less breaking and entering and destruction of property, but fairly similar. I mean, we wrote the names on pieces of paper, we lit them on fire, and, you know, those kinds of things. So,
well, I did have my cat name itself that way.
You had your cat set things on fire?
No, we ripped up names and threw them up in the air, and whichever one the cat went over to and picked up was the name of the cat.
Okay, that works.
Something like that. It's like spin the bottle, too.
Yeah, see? So we're not that far away from where we started. We just have kind of altered our perception, mostly because most people don't have a lime kiln laying nearby.
Yeah.
You know, so. All right, we are out of time. Thank you guys for playing along. Hope you enjoyed some of those kind of silly divination parlor games from the past. And if anybody tries one, let me know how it goes. Please do not burn your tongue on flaming brandy. But
yeah, and don't waste it.
Yeah, drink the brandy when you're done, or Bill will be sad.
Drink the brandy and screw the rest of it. How's that?
Well, no, because you gotta at least try the divination thing.
Okay.
You gotta at least make an effort. That's
get
a
some Rebel Yell. It's cheaper.
Yeah, I didn't say you had to buy high, you know, top shelf brandy, but you at least gotta buy something, you know, useful. Something that'll catch fire. And the cheaper ones catch fire anyway, right? They catch fire better anyway.
Well, it's a higher alcohol content, whatever.
I guess. I don't know. You're asking me like I know things. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. So thanks again for hanging out with us. I hope you enjoyed the conversation, and we'll see you all next week. As always, I'm Rebecca.
I'm Bill.
And we'll see you in the shadows.